This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. Tonight, international. The Balkans, Italy are labeled tinderboxes. Berkeley, California, Secretary Marshall pins leadership responsibility on us. United Nations, Uncle Sam throws out Palestine partition. Chicago, spring's tornadoes on the loose. Now a brief message from Tom Moore.
It must be because this is leap year, because the first day of spring, which usually happens on the 21st of March, comes this year on the 20th, and that's tomorrow. But spring or no spring, let's remember that this is the season for changeable weather, and changeable weather means cold-catching weather. Now, if you're caught with a cold, get some Alka-Seltzer from your druggist. Try the Alka-Seltzer ABC Cold Comfort Treatment. See how much better it helps you feel.
A, Alka-Seltzer.
Take Alka-Seltzer for fast relief from the ache all over feverish misery of a cold.
B, be wise.
Beware of drafts. Be sure to get more rest than usual.
C, comfort.
Comfort the sore throat caused by your cold. Use Alka-Seltzer as a soothing gargle. Well, there it is, friends. Alka-Seltzer's ABC Cold Comfort Treatment. Get some Alka-Seltzer and try it for really fast, effective relief from much of your cold distress. Keep enough Alka-Seltzer on hand, too. Buy an extra 30 or 60 cent size package from your druggist. Then, when your tablets get down to 4, with that extra package, you'll have some more. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
High officials of the Western European powers frankly called the world's attention tonight to a series of events in Turkey, Greece, Italy, and the Balkans, and they labeled every one of these uneasy nations a tinderbox. In Ankara, Turkey, two Turkish military attachés returned to their capital from Bulgaria. They returned suddenly and without public explanation. In Budapest, the Hungarian satellite government is reported to have ordered three of its diplomatic staff to return home from Turkey. These are regarded as signs of serious tension between United States-supported Turkey and Russia's satellites in the Balkans. In Athens, the Greek Minister of Public Order, Konstantin Rentis, agreed with American reports that three international divisions are poised in Russian satellite territory opposite Greece. The Greek government has information that communist guerrillas plan an attack on Salonika between March the 22nd and March the 30th. There are rumors of heavy military traffic in Yugoslavia and Albania. In Italy, the riot squads stepped into political disorders in Rome. The police broke up a series of fistfights at a rally of leftist parties on an Italian holiday. This is evidence that tempers are rising early in the election campaign preceding Decision Day, April the 18th. In London, high-ranking British officials openly admit their concern on two scores. First, they wonder whether the Western European Union can be built strong enough soon enough to save some of their own number from the fate of Czechoslovakia. And secondly, they are fearful of what they call a Soviet blunder in the tinderbox area in the Balkans. In The Hague, the Dutch foreign minister, Baron van Bertsler, publicly labeled the communist commotion in Europe the new fifth column. In Berkeley, California, Secretary of State George Marshall warned the United States that communist encroachments can no longer go unchecked without grave risk to our own safety. These encroachments he compared directly to the high-handed and calculated procedures of the Nazi regime. The Secretary's speech at the University of California falls into three parts. Part one, American leadership and its responsibilities and the peril of failing to make good on those responsibilities. Part two, the grave danger of spreading our leadership so thin, of dispersing it so that we'll be strong nowhere in a crisis. And part three, a specific warning to Italy that Italy is not a place where we will disperse our strength in case the communists win on April the 18th. News of the World has recorded the Secretary's significant address, and we have briefed the significant points. Here is what he had to say about American leadership.
We have an acknowledged position of leadership in the world. We have been spared the destruction of war, which literally flattened Europe. We are enjoying a high degree of prosperity. These things being so, the character and strength of our leadership may well be decisive in the present situation. We cannot evade the issue by the negative procedure of inaction.
And here's Mr. Marshall's warning against spreading ourselves too thin, against being weak everywhere, strong nowhere.
I find myself in virtually the same position today as I was during those war years, and the decisions are just as difficult and equally important. Rich and powerful as we are, we cannot afford to disperse our efforts to a degree which would render all ineffective. Every region has its claims and its proponents, and it is therefore necessary to decide on a general strategy to be employed, having in mind the entire world situation.
The Secretary of State carefully omitted any revelation of what our general strategy would be. Finally, as a case in point, he refers to Italy. He bluntly warns Italians that their country is one we cannot afford to spread ourselves thin on, unless the Italians themselves support the European aid program. In the passage you hear next, the people the Secretary refers to are Italians, the program, the Marshall Plan. Mr. Marshall speaking.
If they choose to vote into power a government in which the dominant political force would be a party whose hostility to this program has been frequently, publicly, and emphatically proclaimed, this could only be considered as evidence of the desire of that country to disassociate itself from the program.
Here in Washington today, Congress moved at high speed again under the spurs of events abroad and the demand for action by the President and the Secretary of State. The House Foreign Affairs Committee stamped OK tonight on a global aid bill, including $5.3 billion for the European Recovery Program, nearly $300 million in military help for Greece and Turkey, and $500 million in economic and military aid to China. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee put the spark of action into President Truman's recommendations by approving the nearly $300 million for Greece and Turkey. Senator Arthur Vandenberg appeared behind the scenes ahead of the debate about to break out over temporary selective service and universal military training. The senator from Michigan threw his influence behind a compromise that would, A, bypass a free-for-all fight over universal military training, and B, put a modified draft law on the books. The modification would read like this: all young men except war veterans would be eligible for the draft. The nation's selective service machinery would be overhauled and put into operation, but men would be called up only if voluntary recruiting failed or if the world crisis threatened to become acute. The United States made another decision today to batten down the hatches against a world blow, but this one stirred up a hurricane of a contention of its own. For the story, here's John McVane in New York.
The Palestine petition plan is dead. The United States killed it today with a few sentences at the United Nations, sentences whose effect was as decisive as a guillotine. Warren Austin, the American delegate, simply asked the Security Council to tell the Palestine Commission to stop trying to establish independent Jewish and Arab countries in the Holy Land. The American spokesman asked a temporary UN trusteeship control be imposed on Palestine. Mr. Austin asked another special assembly be convened immediately to decide Palestine's future. Arab delegates smiled. The Palestine petition plan was a casualty in the overall American-Russian conflict. American strategists feared an unfriendly Arab Middle East would open the area to Russian penetration. The American announcement startled some observers who remembered that we, of all countries, were responsible for fathering the plan at the UN Assembly last November. With the plan go most of the hopes of Zionist Jews for a new country of their own. They called today's American announcement a shocking reversal. In the Council, only Mr. Gromyko of Russia condemned the new American attitude as a blow at the United Nations. Some comment from congressmen was bitter, with words like unbelievable, unfortunate, shocking, a sellout. Trusteeship of petition, the big question remains, what will we do to keep order? Or will we leave Jew and Arab to battle until one or the other is wiped out? This is John McVane in New York.
Nature added her bit to the world disturbance right in our own midst, and a tragic job she made of it. For the story, here's Jim Hurlbut in Chicago.
High winds, tornadoes, and heavy rains have cut a path of destruction across seven states. Dead in the wake of the storm are at least 39 people. The list of injured will run over 300. Property damage is estimated at several million dollars. The states affected are Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Texas, Missouri, and Kansas. But Illinois has been the hardest hit, with from 28 to 36 dead in four small southwestern communities, practically leveled by a tornado which swept across the area early today. The funnel-shaped cloud swept down on the town of Bunker Hill, Illinois, population 1,050, with a roar like a string of empty boxcars rolling down a track. When it passed, 14 were dead, and only two buildings were left standing, a schoolhouse and a brick grocery store. The school became a hospital, and the grocery store a morgue. In other communities, crowded schoolhouses were targets of the storm. At Lima, Sandusky, and Benton Ridge, Ohio, and at Leo and Rising Sun, Indiana, roofs were torn from school buildings by the tornadic winds. At least two children were killed and scores injured. Heavy rains lashed Chicago last night and this morning, setting new records for rainfall, 2 3/4 inches since midnight. Floodwaters have isolated suburban communities, disrupted traffic and communications, and caused at least one fatality. But the Red Cross is moving in. $250,000 has been appropriated for disaster relief in the stricken areas. Cots, food, clothing, and medical aid have been rushed to the blasted communities. Governor Green of Illinois has ordered martial law in the region around Bunker Hill, and National Guardsmen have been ordered to the scene. But the worst is believed over. This is Jim Hurlbut in Chicago.
And now, around the news circuit by Dateline's in a minute and a half. Undated strike news. The soft coal operators notified John L. Lewis today that they will negotiate with him on his demands for a pension for miners if the men will first return to work. The strike continued. The nation's coal shortage grew worse. Meat prices went up another 50 cents to a dollar on the 100 pounds on the Chicago market because of the current CIO packing house workers strike. Only half the usual meat is being slaughtered. Incidentally, cash offerings of wheat knocked the grain market off its even keel again today. And in Knoxville, Tennessee, a federal court granted an injunction against a strike in the atomic energy plants there. The AF-LL workers' representative said the men will not walk off the job at midnight as their original strike plans called for. Washington. The Senate voted today to hold the year's tax cut legislation to $4.8 billion, but the question is still unsettled whether Congress can override a veto of that much tax reduction. New York, Attorney General Tom Clark authorized the release today of Madame Irène Joliot-Curie. The Immigration Service liberated the French atomic scientist after holding her overnight on Ellis Island. She'll be free to speak for the 15 days allowed on her visitor's permit, despite charges that she has been sponsored by a possibly subversive organization. Prague, now communist-dominated Czechoslovakia. The American Embassy announced today that a United States official publication carrying the text of President Truman's address to Congress has been barred from the mails in Czechoslovakia. And that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. If a party or something special's in your plans for the weekend, remember this. Late refreshments, irregular hours, and uneven eating habits can add up to a headache or acid indigestion, or maybe both. So be prepared for quick, effective relief. Be prepared with Alka-Seltzer. Check that supply of Alka-Seltzer, and if those tablets are down to 4, that's the time to buy some more.
When you buy vitamins, get the greatest value for your money. Listen.
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins.
Yes, penny for penny, one-a-day brand multiples give you more milligrams of vitamins than any other nationally known brand of multiple vitamins sold by your druggist. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which requirements have been established in human nutrition. Dependable for strength, purity, quality, and...
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
New York. Henry Wallace spent today passing up a chance to visit President Truman and preparing another reply to the president via radio. The White House was notified that Mr. Wallace, a member of the board of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Memorial Foundation, did not attend a meeting of the board with President Truman, although the White House said he would have been quite welcome, that is, along with the others. Washington, Senator Flanders of Vermont proposed today that we lay our differences with Russia before the United Nations. The General Assembly would be asked to consider the conduct of the United States and the Western nations and the conduct of the Soviet government and her satellites. And the Assembly would report the effects of these actions on the United Nations itself. What's more, Senator Flanders says, he and other senators are about to suggest a vast reorganization for the UN to make it an aggressive fighting organization for the waging of peace. New York, Representative Carl Mundt reports that American housewives, businessmen, farmers, and workers are being lined up for Voice of America broadcast to Italy. Italian Americans will try to tell Italians in Italy the benefit of the freedoms of the United States. And that's the news of the world. Until Monday at this same time, this is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.